We'll dive in. You know, we're in a series that we started right after the first of the year, just this idea of how do we grow in faith? And we're here because we want to grow in our experience of God. We if you're here, typically, I think most of us, we don't want to really play church. We want it to be real. We don't want to be checking a box. We want to have a faith that really impacts our lives, and we want to be growing in that. And so that's what we're talking about. And the verse, the theme verse that we've used, and I repeat it each week, you may be getting tired of hearing it, but it's such a good reminder for me and probably for all of us. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night." It's one of the reasons that we emphasize this value of spending time with God, because blessed is the one who meditates on his law, his word, day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. That's what we want. We want to be flourishing like a tree planted by a stream of water that's never going to go dry, that always has green leaves and is prospering no matter what we do, no matter what season we're in. And I'm sort of, you know, Ray and I are basing this series on a few things that, as I've mentioned week to week, God grows us in our faith in a wide variety of ways. These are some of the most common things, and it's sort of what we're touching on as we go through. I'm not going to spend time on each one, but where we are right now is spending time with God's people. And this is the third week of kind of a sub-series in the larger series of giving of our time, our talents, and treasure. Time was the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, 1/7 of our time. God says, give that to me and just carve that out. Let me give you a time and space for rest and refreshment and refocus and re-energizing. So that was a couple weeks ago. We talked about what that looks like. Talents was last week. And we referenced the passage from Exodus when God gave Moses the instruction on building the tabernacle. And then he talked about giving certain people, all of the people to some degree, gifts and skills and abilities. And he said, bring your gifts and skills and abilities. Also, bring all your stuff. Here's all the list of things that we're going to need to construct this tabernacle. And they were so enthusiastic and so responsive. God's spirit was at work that the workers came back to Moses and said, tell them not to bring anything else. We've got plenty. It's overflowing. And so kind of, you know, last week mentioned, have you ever been to a church where they said, stop giving? You know, well, that's what happened with the Israelites in the Old Testament. But they were bringing their talents and said, God has uniquely wired each of us with certain talents, skills, and abilities. And when we give those things, when we give God our time, when we give God our talents, when we give God our treasure, we'll be talking about that today, it's instrumental and has a direct correlation to our growing in faith. It just does, because it's saying, God, I'm taking what I have and I'm giving it to you. It requires faith and trust. And then we wait to see what God does with it. We give him an opportunity to act. And when we see him respond, our faith grows. So that's what we talked about last week. And then we, you know, talked about all this wide variety of ways that you know, a lot of examples that are listed in the notes from last week, which you can access online, talking about what are you skilled at doing? Cooking, cleaning, fixing, singing, drawing, negotiating, crafting, doing all kinds of stuff. You name it. Anything that you do or that you're good at doing can be used to advance the kingdom of God. And then we talked about, I kind of came up with 5 different talent buckets, you know, of all the things that could be done. Here within the church and community is ministry to kids, serving with hospitality, welcome team setup, worship, outreach, and care. And again, all the details of that are in the notes from last week, which you can access online. But my vision and my dream for that would be like, wouldn't it be so great? Because when we serve, when we give of our talents, we oftentimes come into community with other people that are doing the same thing, and relationships develop. And I reference the guys that come in and set up early and that do worship and do sound. There are relational connections that have developed and friendships that have developed as a side benefit from their initial serving. So wouldn't it be awesome if all of us, if you look at these, and maybe there are others, but if you look at these and you go, that's the one that I fit in. And I know there's going to be crossover, but where there's a community of serving, we all kind of figure out what that is. And we have that. And I'd love to see that. I'd love for all of us to figure out, this is where my place is. These are my people. This is who I'm serving with. And so that's a little bit of a challenge or an inspiration. It's on the website, and there's a QR code, and you can scan it, you know, from where you are. But go to the response form and click on the one that you go, okay, I'm most interested in this. And then there's a blank at the bottom of the response form where you could get more detailed in terms of, well, I clicked on the outreach, but here's what my real passion is, you know, specifically. You don't have to do that by any means, but it's an opportunity. So if you're looking for a way to engage or to serve, or you may respond and say, I don't really know where my serving area is, but here's what I like to do. Here's what I do. Here's what I'm skilled at. Help me connect. We'd be happy to do that. So now I'm kind of moving forward into this week and the topic for today, growing in faith by trusting God in our treasure. And I say our treasure, the reality is it's all His treasure. And it's a mindset. And that's a starting point of knowing that I'm not an owner. I'm a steward. I'm a steward of the gifts that God's given me. Everything that I have, everything that we have, it's all His. And so that's the first acknowledgement of being a follower of Jesus and walking in relationship with God, is just to look at all the stuff that we have and go, it's not mine. It's His. How can I glorify Him? How can I be a blessing to His kingdom and to His people with what He's given me? You know, I was thinking that probably for most of us, and because we're sinners, we probably battle with one side or the other of our giving experiences. And I battle with these regularly. Either we have a battle of giving experience of guilt. I'm not doing enough. I'm not giving enough. I just feel guilty. I feel bad about that. I'm ashamed that I don't give. And maybe it's because I don't want to give. Maybe it's because I don't have the resources to give and I still feel bad about it, but we have guilt. Then the other side of that is pride, because I'm like, hey, I'm nailing it. Like, I'm doing a great job giving. I'm giving more than I have been asked to give. And then I start comparing myself with other people and what I think that they may or may not be giving. And so I battle between guilt and pride. But the goal in our giving of our time and of our talents and of our treasure is to be giving out of a place of gratitude and faith, just trusting God with everything that we have. And letting our giving be just a response of gratitude to His unbelievable giving and loving kindness towards that He's lavished on us. Now, let it be a response of gratitude. And His word tells us, that's what I want. I want you to give cheerfully. I don't want you to give out of duty or obligation, but I want you to be a cheerful giver, whether it's your talents, your time, or your treasure. This week, the text that kind of jumped out at me that I thought I'd launch into is that story of Jesus meeting with the rich young ruler. And I hadn't really thought about it in this context before, but I think there's some things that we can take away from with this. And by the way, when you hear messages on giving, financial giving, there's a capital campaign. The church is trying to raise money. And the reality is church is always trying to raise money because churches are nonprofits and depends on the gifts of the people that are participating. But we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I told somebody this past week, I said, the illustration it reminds me of what happens oftentimes, it feels manipulative when that happens. And that's not the heart of this. The heart is just, this is a reality that it is the essence point. It's really where the rubber meets the road for our Christian faith is, you know, we say we believe, but when we give, there's an action. That's where it gets real. But I said, kind of reminded me if I'm sitting across the table with somebody and they've got two slices of pizza and I know they're trying to lose weight. It could be vice versa as well. But I say, hey, you know what? You really shouldn't eat those two slices of pizza. You know, I know you're trying to lose some weight and you know, you had the salad and you had, we did an appetizer, but you probably shouldn't eat those. And then my friend across the table said, you know what? You're right. You're right. I'm not going to eat those two slices and put some aside. And then I reach over and I grab them and I eat them. That was manipulation. We don't want to do that. The heart behind this message is not manipulation, but it really is. And so I say this oftentimes, if it feels at all like, oh, we're just talking about this giving thing so that the church will get more money, give, but don't give it to this church. Give it to a nonprofit. Give it to a neighbor. Give it to another church. That's not our intention here. But there is, the reality is, generosity is a response of God's generosity towards us. And we're missing a lot, especially as it relates to growing in our faith, when we're not engaged in giving of our time, talents, and treasure. So let me dive in. Mark 10, verses 17 to 27 says this: as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Uh-oh. Jesus looked at him. He didn't condemn him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He felt compassion for him because he saw that he was lost in his thinking. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Well, then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible." Salvation is of God. A changed heart is of God. Everything that we experience in a positive way in relationship, but that's all His. It's all Him. Everything that we do and experience is Him. With man, this rich young ruler, and with us, we cannot earn our way to God. We can't earn our salvation. This guy was deceived, self-deceived into thinking he's perfectly kept all of the commands. Hey, I've done that. Now what? And Jesus knew that the heart, even though the external, maybe he was hitting on all cylinders, the heart still is selfish. The heart is still self-righteous. The heart still is full of sin. And we can't bridge that gap, that requirement of perfection on our own. Jesus has to do that. So the good news for us is that even though it's impossible for us, with God, all things are possible. I wrote down here in my notes, our hearts are the same as the rich young ruler. We're fearful, we're selfish, we're full of pride. It manifests itself in different ways, in different levels, at different times. When the rich young ruler asked how he could be saved and that he'd kept all the commands, Jesus told him to go away and sell everything he had and give to the poor. And he went away sad because he had great wealth and he knew what was in his own heart. And he knew he couldn't do it. And we feel that way too. When the disciples asked who can be saved, Jesus answered by telling them that this is impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. The rich young ruler was trying to earn God's salvation by his own good works. And when we operate in that mindset of trying to earn God's favor, trying to earn our salvation, we're either going to experience guilt because we're not doing enough, or pride because we think that we're doing more than it more than we should. We're enamored with our own good works. And so that's just a dead-end road. We're going to end up in one of those places when we're looking at what we do in our relationship with God. And so knowing that, basically what Jesus says to us is, good luck with that. That's impossible. You're running down a road that's not going to get you where you think you're going to go. And so the good news, again, is that even though our hearts are greedy and selfish, we're covered in the righteousness of Jesus. We're covered in his generosity. We're covered in his humility. We're covered in his good works. And as a result, our giving is a result of his generosity towards us, not an effort of our generosity towards him. That's where giving starts. It starts with him. It doesn't start with us. We cannot earn God's favor. We don't have enough to give to earn his favor. We give as a result of the favor that he's already given to us. So Jesus sets us free from trying to earn his favor out of duty, such that we now can give out of cheerful hearts with delight. He sets us free from duty, and we end up in a place of delight. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 talks about that. We also know that we cannot outgive God. That's a knowledge of faith. God gives us that perspective, but we can't outgive God. That helps us in our giving. And I'm telling you, I have experienced a lot of fear even this past week as I think about giving personally, as I think about the church. But really, it's more about me. Because when we give, we're taking what we communicate or what we believe is security, and we're bypassing it. We're turning it over to God and going, okay, I know that I'm going to have these bases covered if I hang on to it. But when I push it across the table, now that's a trust issue. And at the heart of fear that we experience with giving is provision. Am I going to be provided for? Am I going to be cared for? It can be paralyzing. I know that there have been some humongous needs in this church that are a result of very difficult circumstances. All kinds, whether it's medical bills or difficult life circumstances and situations and relationships and job loss, whatever it may be, it can be very paralyzing. And God calls us to say, trust me, trust me, trust me. Even in that, we can give. We can give. It may look different in that. You know, you think about the widow who gave her 2 cents. Jesus said he saw all the rich guys putting in tons of money. He said she just gave more than they did because she gave out of her poverty. There's a huge element of trust there. It's not about what's in the plate. It really is about what's in the heart. And so we constantly are on our face before God to say, God, I'm giving, but boy, there's such a mess in my heart. Help me to give with a good heart. And then he says, if your heart's not right and you can't give with a good heart, then take a time out. It's okay. I want you to come with a cheerful heart. I want you to come to give out of gratitude, not out of duty. So we know that God can't, that we can't outgive God. There's a couple of verses here. Psalm 37, 25 and 26. I love this. I love this verse. I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They're always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. God's telling us, and this is representative of so many other scriptures throughout the Bible that says, you're my kids. I'm going to take care of you. You know, Matthew 6, when he talks about, look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap. It's your Heavenly Father that takes care of them. And if I'm taking care of them, how much more am I going to take care of you? But that's hard to believe sometimes. It really is. I struggle with that. But he will supply our every need. And so when we feel compelled to give, when we see God's command, because he does all the way through Scripture. We saw it last week with Israel. He is constantly telling us, give, 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 give. Because he wants us to trust. He wants us to trust. He doesn't need it. We need it more than he does. We need to give it more than he needs to receive it. And then he challenges us to test him. And many of y'all are familiar with this scripture, but I'm so grateful that the scripture is in the Bible because it's a promise that we can cling to when we're doubting, when we're questioning, when we're fearful. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. We'll talk about tithe in a minute. Bring it all, that there may be food in my house. And then he says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I try to make it a practice to, when God does this in my life, to write it down because I forget. God's past faithfulness impacts my future faith to believe that he's going to provide. When I've taken and gone, ooh, I don't know, I'm afraid, this, you know, terrifies me. And then you see how God responds. And he does it so often in ways that it's God. You know it's God. But we have to remember those things. That's how our faith grows. Talk about growing in faith. That's how it happens. He turns our fear into faith when we push it across and we see him respond. So how do we give? Just two things that came to my mind. Look at our hearts and we look at our hands. What's in our hands? Our hearts. It's important that what matters most in our giving, as I mentioned, is not so much what's in the plate, but what's in your heart. That's where Christianity is different from every other religion in the world. Every other religion looks at our good moral behavior because we're trying to earn favor with God. You can't confess your sin in other religions because that's going to be marks against you. That's going to be an imbalance of the weights, the scales. It's good. If you've got more good deeds than bad, then you're in, hopefully. There are no guarantees in any other religion. There is in Christianity, because our being in doesn't depend on us. It depends on Jesus. I referenced this verse earlier, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, not being coerced or manipulated, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's joyful. It's wonderful to be able to give and participate in what God's doing, not out of guilt, again, but out of gratitude. So how do we give? What's in our heart? And there's often so much junk in our hearts when it comes to giving, whether it's our talents, our time, or our treasure, that's one of the things that causes us to just continue to be on our face before God, so to speak, in prayer, just saying, God, I am constantly aware of this junk that's in my heart. I need to confess. I push it across. Would you forgive me? And would you change my heart by your Holy Spirit? Would you do a work in me that I can't do myself? Give me faith. Give me faith. Don't beat yourself up if your faith is weak, because all of our faith is weak. My faith is weak. And I say this all the time. A lot of times I feel like I'm just barely hanging on by my fingernails with faith. I wake up mornings and go and seek the Lord in prayer and Bible reading. And oftentimes I just think, Lord, I am barely a Christian this morning. Or maybe I'm not a Christian this morning. I need you to come meet me here. I don't have what it takes. I'm fearing more than I'm faithful. I'm worried about things that I can't control. God help me. So what's in our hands? Two verses that come to mind. Proverbs 3 is one of many that we could use, but honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. You'll overflow. Bring your first fruits. Don't give your last and your least. Give your first and your best is what his challenge is. Trust me in this. And then the second, Malachi 3:10, mentioned that earlier, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. A few thoughts about tithing. What is a tithe? A tithe is a tenth. You may be familiar with that. A little bit of the history of tithing and giving. The first gift, I think this is accurate, that we see in Scripture was Cain and Abel. They both brought a sacrifice to God. They didn't bring a tithe necessarily, didn't speak to that. Maybe they did. But they brought a sacrifice. And obviously the Lord was more pleased with Abel's sacrifice than Cain's. But that's the first gift that we see. Then we see Noah. When God saved Noah and his family, the first thing that they did when they got off the ark was Noah offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And, you know, kind of what we're talking about here, I looked at that story, I thought, salvation precedes sacrifice. And here what we're talking about is one of the first things in growing in our faith is recognizing that this is all from God. That's the starting point. And so salvation results in sacrifice. It's not that sacrifice brings about salvation. It's the opposite. We experience salvation and we're compelled to offer sacrifice. So that's Noah. And then we see Abraham. He meets with Melchizedek, this priest of Salem out of nowhere. We think it's a Christophany, where we think it might have been a pre-incarnate Jesus that he met with, but Abraham offers him a tithe of everything. That's the first time that we really see tithe. And then Jacob offers a tithe. He wrestles with the angel and he offers a tithe. And then Leviticus 27 is where we really first see God talking about give a tithe of all that you have to me. And there are all kinds of different tithes. There are different tithes for different festivals and seasons. And so with Israel, 10%, yes, but there were other times for 10. So they were giving more than just 10%. and so the question that we often hear is the 10% tithe rule still in effect? And I don't know. It could be multiple answers. The way I look at it is, you know, when you go out to eat, you go to a restaurant, what's sort of the basis of tipping, right? There's kind of a 15%. Or 20% maybe more in line today, but 15% would be kind of a baseline of service. And so in some regards, the tithe is just when God says, I want you to give, well, how much? Well, here's a baseline. Here's kind of to give you an idea. And so that's maybe one way of looking at it. And it kind of helps me to go, you know, why do I not have so much of a problem tipping 15 to 20%, but I do have a problem, and this is just for service over an hour and a half, when God is serving us in such a humble way for our entire lifetimes, but I have a problem and a challenge with tithing. I do. I struggle with that, with my heart, because there's selfishness there. But anyway, that's maybe one way to look at it, but I think when Jesus came, the Old Testament opened everything up, and you know, people will say, well, if 10% is not still in place, it's because he wants everything. Okay, I'd rather have 10%. Can we go back to 10%? He's really saying, I want you to give cheerfully. You know, the 10% is a helpful measure, but I want you to give. It goes from how much do I have to give to how much can I give? We see God's goodness and his faithfulness and this idea of storing up treasure in heaven, this an investment in God's kingdom that is paying off in this world, but we're not going to see until we're face to face with Jesus the investment that we've made when we continue to give God what is his in his tithe, but also the offerings, just where we say, hey, here's more money I can throw at this. Think if you had an incredible investment opportunity and they say, you know, it's going to yield 30% or 40% or 50%. You know, we'd be digging under our couch cushions looking for every bit of money we could throw at it. Well, this is far greater than that. But how do we believe that really? How do we embrace that? It's by faith. It's by faith. And we're all in process. We're all growing from selfish, stingy hearts to generous, open hearts to God. So we go from how much do I have to give to how much can I give? Did you know that, I mean, other religions, they do mandatory tithing. Muslims in Islam, there's mandatory tithing. The Mormon church, I think that this is probably still at play and maybe in different locations, but when you become a part of the Mormon church, it's also required that you give them a copy of your W-2. so that they know there's accountability there. If you're not tithing, they know how much you make. You're going to be disciplined. That's not God's way. He wants our gift to come from the heart, not a have to, but a want to. I've got a Jewish friend who said, and I didn't realize this, but you know, the temple that he belongs to, they have membership fees. So it's not about giving. It's you have to join and you have to pay a membership fee. And when you, if you want to go to the temple for Yom Kippur or for Passover, first of all, you have to have been paying your membership fees, but then you also have to buy tickets to go. So I thought that gave me a good idea for Christmas Eve. I mentioned earlier that you don't really have to have a lot or really anything to be generous. We don't have to have anything to be generous. We can give of what we have, and God sees that. We give out of our poverty. God grows our faith when we give. That's really the whole purpose of this talk, is it's a way that we grow in faith when we give and when we trust God. If we don't give God the opportunity to prove his faithfulness, then it'll be difficult for us to experience his faithfulness. We have to give him the opportunity. We can believe the right things, but if we don't give him the opportunity to prove himself faithful, we're not going to see it. I mentioned that our generosity is a response to God's generosity towards us. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So God has said, you're my kids. I gave you my son. Jesus willingly gave himself for us. And he's like, I'm going to lavish everything on you because I love you. And that verse is not there to manipulate us into giving, to say, hey, look at how much God has done for you. Now it's your turn to do back for God. That's not the point of that. God's love for us is not with condition. It's unconditional. He loves us whether we're giving or not. We're his kids. But when we begin to understand his great love for us, it causes our hearts to be conditional. We say, how can I give, God? Maybe we're in a position, many of us may be in a position, like, I don't know how to give. With my current situation, you know, I can barely pay the bills that I have. I'm out of work, whatever it may be. God knows that. We just fall on our face and say, God, the starting point is give me a heart to give. Give me a heart to want to give, and then help me to take steps to give. So just, we can start wherever we are. And if you're already giving, keep doing it, but don't let pride infect. Don't let pride come in and say, oh, I'm nailing it. We're on our face before God and say, God, whatever I give, it's a response to your gracious, loving kindness towards me. As we practice generosity, we open the door for God to provide in the gap that's been created by our giving. Now there's a gap. I turned it over. God, how is this going to be handled? And as we experience God's provision, our faith and our trust in God can't help but grow. I know that there are stories in this room. I'd love to hear them at some point as you're thinking. Maybe this week, reflect on how has God met me in the gap when I've given. That's why we share on Sunday mornings. And oftentimes it's hard to think about stuff, you know, on the fly. So my encouragement is always be thinking during the week of a way that you've experienced God's goodness. Be thinking of a way in the week that God has met you with his love. Because when you tell stories and when I tell stories of God's provision in the gaps of life, it encourages all of our faith. I think it's probably more powerful than anything that we'll say up here, is the real life stories of God's provision, not just financial, but in every way. Yes, there is a God. He's heard our prayers. He's answered, and we've experienced it. Giving equals trust plus submission. It's trusting God, it's believing God, but it's also submitting ourselves to him. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's trusting and believing that there is an invisible reality that we can't see. And we're investing in that. We're investing in God's kingdom. As he's invested in us and he uses us to invest in other people, he's using our resources to build his kingdom, to help give people the hope that we have in Jesus. People that don't have that, he's using our time, he's using our talents, he's using our treasures to build up his kingdom. There's an illustration I saw several years ago. Have y'all seen this? But I love it, God. She's got her little teddy bear, and Jesus is saying, just give it to me, trust me. And he's got a much bigger teddy bear behind his back. That's oftentimes what God, he's not going to show us the end result because he doesn't want us to give with the purpose of getting. But he's good and he's faithful, and he oftentimes does respond and return in much greater fashion what we've given. He takes our small gifts and he blows them out exponentially. So I love that illustration. I don't know if you've seen, there's a video that's been floating around for a few years of kids talking about delayed gratification and kids sitting at a table with two Oreo cookies or maybe two marshmallows. And they say, you can have the marshmallows now, you can have the Oreos now, or if you'll wait, I don't know, 10 minutes, you'll have five Oreos or five marshmallows. And some of the kids just go ahead and eat the Oreos now. You know, they don't wait. Waiting and believing that something better is to come, that's an illustration of faith. And again, when we're weak there, what do? Do we kick ourselves with shame and guilt? No. Fall on your face. Just go to God in prayer. Go for a walk and say, God, my faith is so weak. Help me. Help me. Faith comes from God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. That's why spending time with God is so important. It increases our faith when we read his word. So I mentioned, start where you are. When we give, we connect ourselves to the greatest cause this world has ever known, and we become conduits for the power and the love of God to flow through us in our time and in our talents and in our treasures. So many people are lacking purpose. Why am I here? What is life all about? Is it about me getting more and accumulating and accumulating and accumulating? No, there's no purpose and fulfillment in that. It's about being a part of a greater cause and a greater purpose. And I love this quote by R.C. Sproul that every human being wants to have a significant part in a significant cause. And if you're here today and you're a part of God's church, whether it's here or any church, you have access to be a part of of the greatest, most significant cause on the face of the earth. And I think that's an inspiring thought. In closing, two things. It takes faith to receive. It takes faith to receive. The fact that you're here today is an act of faith. You came to give, but you also came to receive, believing that you're going to receive something. Think of the woman that as Jesus was going to heal Jairus' daughter, the woman in the crowd who had the issue of blood and bleeding was just like, I just need to grab the hem of his garment and I believe that I'll be healed. Well, she did that and she was healed. She received. All throughout scripture, we see when Jesus walks the earth, people receive from him. Well, it takes faith to receive. It takes faith to believe and to receive healing. But it also takes faith to give. And giving is harder. Giving is harder. But Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I thought about, why is that? Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? And I think it's because it connects us to God's cause. It connects us to his kingdom. When we give to a need, when we give to help, when we give to serve, it connects us to the purpose that we were created to be on this earth for, to be a part of what God wants to do, to expand his kingdom and to share his love with other people. It causes us to trust God when we give. So whether it's in receiving or in giving, I think our greatest obstacle to faith, at least it is for me, I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning fearing financial situation. And God, and here I'm preaching this message today. I don't think that's a coincidence. God was challenging me in my own trusting. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me? But fear is it's the obstacle to faith. So when you fear, and when I fear, God, here's my fear. I'm not believing that you're going to trust. I'm not believing that you're going to provide. I'm not trusting that you're going to provide. But in Mark 5:36, Jesus said, in response to Jairus' daughter who had died, they came and said, Jesus, she's dead. You're too late. And he said, don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. That's what he calls us to do. Closing thought. When we cast off our fear and put on faith, we enter into a dimension of life such that we encounter God in a very real way, both in our receiving and in our giving. And when that happens, we find ourselves growing in faith. And that's good news for us today. Let me pray. Lord, we do want to grow in faith. And we confess, Lord, is there any other way that I can grow in faith without giving? Not to the degree that we grow when we give. We miss out on a lot when we don't give of our time, when we don't give of our talents, when we don't give of our treasure. Lord, help us to have an attitude and a spirit that we're all in for you. And we're not going to be there now, but grow us, Lord. Give us faith. Our faith is weak. Would you help us? And help us. I know the enemy is probably scattering seeds in our hearts and in our minds right now of, oh yeah, the church is giving this message to get. That's not our heart. That's not your heart. The paradox of the kingdom of God is that when you give, you'll receive blessing. When you make yourself last, you'll actually find yourself being first. And when you die to yourself, that's when you will truly find life and life abundant. So press that into our spirit. Lord, would you help us today and this week to walk in the freedom and the joy of your love. Help us not to stumble over the guilt or the pride that we have when it comes to giving and generosity, but help us just to keep our eyes on you, Jesus, and to be so enamored with your love for us that our hearts would, like I said, we'd be looking under couch cushions to say, what can I give? Not how much do I have to give, but what can I give? Out of a response of gratitude to be a part of building up the kingdom. So Lord, meet us in that. Bless us this day. Bless us wherever our struggle is with giving. You know where we are. We all struggle. And some, it's a physical need. We just don't have the means to give. Some, it's a spiritual need. We don't have the desire to give. God, would you meet us in those places and help us to know it's not about what we give. It's all about what you have given for us. Help us to experience that, to embrace it, and to respond to it with gratitude. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.